Calling all lovers of mystery and fans of a good story. If you haven't already heard me talk about June's journey, you're in for a treat. It's time to don your detective hat in this free hidden object mobile game that delves into the captivating journey of June Parker, a self-proclaimed detective on a quest to unravel the mystery surrounding her sister's untimely death. In June's journey, you get to play as June, deciphering clues and unveiling secret plots within thousands of beautifully illustrated scenes. And did I mention it's set in the glitzy 1920s? New chapters are added weekly, so you will never run out of new thrills to uncover, and you can also personalize and decorate your very own Orchid Island where the story takes place. How sharp are your detective skills? Find out when you download June's Journey on your Android or iOS device, or play online via Facebook Games. Your detective journey awaits.
Hello, I'm Alison Larkin, writer, comedian, narrator, and host of the Jane Austen podcast. Join me as we embark on a journey through Austen's timeless stories, starting with Pride and Prejudice. The Jane Austen podcast with Alison Larkin is available wherever you listen to podcasts.
Hello, world, and welcome back to another episode of Thanks for Coming In. I'm your host, Jillian Clare. If this is your first time tuning into the show, welcome to the madness. Every week I have on a new guest who tells me some awful audition stories. Sometimes they're really funny and sometimes they break your heart. And we have a great time talking about their career, their accomplishments, and all of the missteps along the way. Before we get started with this show, I just wanted to take a moment of silence for Helena Hutchins, who tragically lost her life creating art last week. So please join me in that moment now. I know that a lot of us in the filmmaking community have been beside ourselves this past week. It's been rough, and my heart really does go out to everybody who was on that set, everyone who knew Helena, her family, her friends, her husband, her son. I never had the pleasure of working with her, but she sounds like she was so full of life and so full of creative juice and wonderful vision, and our industry is definitely lesser without her here. While we are here, before we do the interview portion of the show, I just want to remind everybody, I know that Halloween is this weekend, and I am very excited, and yes, my costume is done, and yes, I'm picking it up, and yes, I will put photos on Instagram for you to see. But please, 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 please be safe this weekend. There is still a pandemic going on. I am going to a party, but we are all vaccinated. We are all getting tested 72 hours beforehand. We are all going to be safe as possibly can be, wearing masks. So please be safe this weekend. Please don't drink and drive. Take an Uber, call a friend, stay over at that person's house, whoever you're with. Just be safe and considerate of others, I beg you. Today on the show, we have Beau Yokley. He and I had such a great chat, and it was so nice to meet an actor with such enthusiasm for the art of filmmaking. So here is my conversation with Beau Yokley. And welcome to the show, Mr. Beau Yokley.
Thank you very much, Julian.
How are you doing on this fine day?
I'm doing great. It's starting to look like fall a little bit out there, so I'm excited.
Are you on the East Coast or the West Coast?
I'm on East Coast currently.
Ooh, lucky. I want to see some trees turning.
We get all four seasons. Yeah, so I say North Carolina a lot of time, and you know, we have winter, we get snow, fall, beautiful leaves change, summer, spring, the whole thing. So
yeah. I shot a movie out in North Carolina when I was 19, and it was funny. October 1st, it started snowing, and everyone was like, this is bizarre. It shouldn't be happening. Just so no, you know.
I have never, I don't remember that. When was this?
Okay. So I was 19. So that's 10 years ago. So 2011. And we were filming like in the mountains. Like we were up in a tiny, tiny little town called Banner Elk outside of Boone.
Yeah. Absolutely. I know exactly where Banner Elk was at. In fact, one of my favorite restaurants was there. Yeah.
Really?
Yes.
Is it the little Italian one that's down like off the mountain?
No, it's, I think it's called Sixpence Pub, I believe is the name. It's like a little hole in the wall. You would walk right by it, but it's like an old Irish style pub and the food is incredible though. And that's where me and my wife love going.
Oh, that's so sweet. I love little places like that where you stumble and you're like, oh, this is a whole lot different than I thought it was going to be.
And that is usually the anomaly. Most of the time when it looks bad, it's not very good. But occasionally, you know, you go to New York or sometimes in LA, you'll run those holes in the wall and it's like, you know, it changes your life.
Yeah. So tell me a little bit about how you got started in this wild entertainment world.
Where did I get started? Well, I guess the day I was born. No, I won't think about that. I would say that so funny story time. I was the guy in high school. We all remember it circa 2005, 6, 7, 8. I was the guy at the front of Abercrombie, standing there shirtless, saying, "Welcome to Abercrombie." That was me. Okay. I literally did this job. And my wife remembers this because in high school. And so the girls would come and see me working there and be like, you know, take pictures, whatever. But that was how I got involved with modeling. And of course, the modeling world, as you know, is pretty closely correlated with acting in some regards. And so my print agent at the time, you know, I've been working pretty consistently, kept saying, you know, you need to go out for acting. You know, you have too much personality. You want to, you know, entertain too much. There's no way you should just print. Try this. So after a long time of saying no, eventually I said, okay. And from the time I said, okay, it was like, you know, one of the biggest sets I've ever been on, a Marvel Studios set, you know, was one of my first things I've ever done. And of course that sets the bar pretty high. You know,
that's like you're starting at the top then.
Well, fortunately, you know, my role was minor in the sense that there wasn't a ton of like dialogue or anything like that. But the fact that, you know, I was there for a week and I was able to work with James Gunn and
who's just one of the best filmmakers ever. Oh my gosh. Like he's incredible.
He's incredible. And literally, Julian, day one, I said, you know, he asked everyone's name. I'm Bo. And he remembered my name from every single day. Bo, we need to do this, whatever. And so that, you know, had a special place in my heart because these guys are bigger than life. You know, they're literally like icons, and to be able to see that they're genuinely good people and that they, you know, all want to make the best move we can. And so, like you said, that set the bar really high. Yeah. And so from there on forward, you're hooked. You know, when you're able to see behind the scenes, and some people it takes away the magic. For me, it just added more to it. And it realized like, hey man, this is so feasible. This is so doable. Yeah. You're going to get, you know, beat up a lot, but at the end of the day, you know, I think it's the only thing I was designed or something that I could naturally do without having to try too hard. And that, the resilience is there in this field and only this field for me, you know, everything else. I'm like, you know what? I don't like that much, but this is like, you know, you get the crap kicked out of you for years and years and years. And eventually, you know, it stops hurting.
That's a good way to put it. It stops hurting.
A little bit each time
stops hurting.
Yeah, it's like, you know, going to the gym, right? Yeah. I mean, you know, we lift weight and eventually that weight we started with, it's not heavy anymore, so you add more weight, right? Well, that weight didn't necessarily get lighter. It's just the fact that you got stronger. It's the same way I kind of look at this. It's not that, you know, the rejection isn't there. Of course it is. It's there for everyone. I mean, it's nothing but that, but eventually it stops hurting. And eventually you get so calloused that you don't, not in a bad way, but you get so tough skinned that it doesn't cut you when you don't get the role, when you're so close to a career changing move and it doesn't happen. You know, that stuff happens to everyone, but eventually you stop even thinking or feeling it because it's just, you know, you've done it enough.
Right. Well, it's that, you know, that ability to really start framing things as a job and not really as like, you know, a dreamscape that you wish to be a part of, but really as a job and saying, hey, things don't work out 90% of the time, but they do that 10%, and that's what you got to focus on.
that's it, you know. And I think the greatest things in life are the hardest things in life. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, I think that that's a principle for almost anything. And so, of course, this career is no different. I think that, people see the glitz and the glamour, and they think, you know, that people got lucky. And some people, I don't necessarily believe in luck, but I think some people do have an easier path than what we may see. But, you know, that may, their trial may be on the back end when, you know, they don't work for 20 years. I don't know. But everyone thinks they're going to face trials and tribulations and tough times. And it's really how you handle those that are going to determine your longevity, I feel like.
Yeah. So, okay, you become an Abercrombie model, and then you go off and you do real modeling. And do you go to any type of schooling for acting? Do you, like, start getting into classes? What is that, like, full transformation?
Yes. So, of course, that's when you, you know, after you get the, you realize this is what I want to do. Shortly after Guardians, I was able to be on set for Baywatch, and I was a lifeguard in there, chopping, cutting room floor, you know, for several of my bigger things. But again, 2 weeks on set with Dwayne Johnson and you know, Zac Efron, and seeing them operate and work, and realizing, you know what, these guys, they took no acting classes. I mean, make no mistake about it. I love them truly, dearly. Like meeting Zac Efron for me was like meeting, you know, Elton John. Like it was larger than life. Because I watched this guy from high school, you know, all the way up and through and do, and he was the guy who saw, you know, early on, thought, if he could do, I feel like maybe I can. But meeting them and seeing that they're very fallible, that they don't come in with every nuanced little inflection of their voice ready and prepared, that many, many, many situations are going to be, you know, marketing, and then they're going to be, you know, kind of where we're, you're trying to be putting in a position that you're going to be able to get to the next job. And so for seeing them do that, I knew I was going to take classes. I knew it was necessary. We started doing, even before COVID, we were doing, you know, online classes and video conferences and video classes, and then local classes. Fortunately, I have the School of the Arts, which is 15 minutes from where I live. And that's, oh, nice. You know, primarily focused on, you know, filmmaking and acting. And so we have a great acting studio here in Winston-Salem, North Carolina, that I attended for a bit. But then, you know, you kind of learn on the job. You know, I've always done better in that way. I think some people, they you know, really love and cling on to this, the safety of a class. But I feel like the only real true freedom I've ever felt, the only growth I've ever really felt, was being pushed out into the deep end and saying, you're about to get fired or you're going to rise to the occasion. And there have been situations like that. It's like, you know, if I don't get this, I'm done. You know, this project. But then for some reason, you know, that little extra bit of, you know, push, it really kind of, you know, elevates you, and it worked out great. So acting classes, yes, of course, we got it all involved with that. But I focused a lot on the business of show business. I came from a business background. And so I think I really took it upon myself to get the right team around me, agents, managers, you know, publicists, all the things that kind of elevate you to a certain level. And that's kind of the path that I took.
Yeah. Well, I think it's interesting that, you know, you've been able to create this career for yourself with also not living in LA or New York. That's a big accomplishment for a lot of people. Can you explain a little bit on, like, how you've been able to do that, especially for the people who are listening that, you know, don't know that they want to move to a big city like that?
Sure. So my thought process, whether it's good or bad, has been, you know, many times what everyone's doing may not be the best fit. So getting out of school and starting classes and getting some, you know, good early breaks, everyone faces that pressure of come to LA, come to LA. It's here. And I had several friends who went out there and they took that path. And for me, I always felt more comfort in getting away from the riffraff and from the being so inundated with the quote unquote industry that I don't get burnt out. You see, if I'm involved, I have the personality that if I'm in a city, in a situation where everyone's an actor and everyone wants to be an actor and everyone can potentially elevate, I won't sleep. I won't eat. I will do nothing but market and go. And then, you know, I've in several situations get burnt out. I'm like, man, you know, I can't keep doing this. And so now I was in LA or I was in New York, it was like that. And so I knew that longevity wise, it would be better for me to be able to remove myself and then to drop into a situation, whether it be filming in Atlanta or filming in Los Angeles or New York, and be there for the work. And when I'm there, I am fully there and only about that. But then I check out and go somewhere else. That's helped me better in my process better, because I don't feel quite as overwhelmed, and I don't feel quite as like a dog chasing a car that doesn't ever stop, you know, and so you tend to get burnt out for that. So that's really the reason why I made that decision years ago, is like, I don't know that it's necessary now. Now, does it help? Sure. Yeah, for sure. I mean, I think I definitely miss out on some stuff, but I also think that the way technology is nowadays, I mean, you're in LA.
Yeah. Right?
Okay. Yeah. So the way technology is nowadays, look at us.
I know. Here we are.
I didn't have to fly to LA. You didn't have to fly to the East Coast. No. You didn't worry about this now. And so, you know, casting and auditions and callbacks and many, many, many things I've landed and done have been this way. Mm-hmm. Because I think people are communicating now and realizing that we can cut out a lot of the fluff that there used to be. And we're going to have 30 actors waiting in a room for you to, you know, come one at a time. You talk about the nerves. It takes people out. You're talking about, you know, you get one take, you know, and you talk about you're late. All these factors are eliminated, and now you're just seeing the pure best actors on tape, which is what the producers see anyway, is a tape of your audition. So it's like, I think that's what casting is seeing. You know, they're realizing like, okay, well, maybe this thing can be streamlined. We can see 500 people in the same time I used to take a C 50.
Yeah.
And you're getting better material, getting better actors, you're getting across the board from, you know, London to you know, China to US. It's easier, and that's been more beneficial for me for sure.
As a podcast network, our first priority has always been audio and the stories we're able to share with you. But we also sell merch, and organizing that was made both possible and easy with Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell and grow at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. They have an all-in-one e-commerce platform and in-person POS system, so wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. Shopify has allowed us to share something tangible with the podcast community we've built here, selling our beanies, sweatshirts, and mugs to fans of our shows without taking up too much time from all the other work we do to bring you even more great content. And it's not just us. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the US. Shopify is also the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/realm, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/REALM now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/realm. You can shop from anywhere doing pretty much anything. You might shop while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast. And however you shop, we all know and love the thrill of the hunt. But do you also know how to get the thrill of the best deals? Because Rakuten shoppers do. With Rakuten, they get the deals they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Sephora, Nike, and even Expedia if you're looking to get some travel in. And getting cash back doesn't mean you have to miss out on sales, because those can just be stacked right on top. It's easy to use and based on a simple idea. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back through PayPal or check. Download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten.
Yeah, Yeah, I mean, I think it's this last, you know, year and a half has really opened up the ways of even filmmaking. I mean, there's so many films that were made that were purely done on like Zoom and FaceTime and things that are just, you know, they may not be the next, you know, huge hit, but it's something that creatively fulfilled those filmmakers and those actors during that time. And I think it's just, I think it's really cool that we're living in a time where it's like, you can live in North Carolina, you can live anywhere and still be able to have a successful career that is growing.
Right, right. And, you know, the old adage, necessity is the mother of invention, you know. Mm-hmm. And so for this, you know, we need, the industry needed to have, you know, if it was COVID, you have the writers taking a break, writing the great, amazing material. They're not getting inundated. They're not getting bombarded with other things. But that's also created the necessity to cast things electronically and digitally. And then the result of doing so is coming out. And it's like, these movies and shows are just as good as when we were doing quote unquote in-room auditions. Mm-hmm. So I think that streamlined that process. And from all the casting directors I've personally spoken to and producers I've spoken to, it's like it just elevated everything. And now it's more efficient, that it's not quite as archaic as, like, you know, in the 70s, 80s, and some 90s, and even 2000s, it's like, hey, you want to be a movie star? You go to LA. That's the only way of doing it. And now I think there's a lot of ways, even a lot of stars moving out and doing their own thing. But it's kind of the same reason I talked about, you know, I think Matthew McConaughey is famous for doing the same thing. Chris Pratt is famous for doing the same thing. It's like, it's better for some to be away from it and than to be so surrounded by all the time. And, you know, digitally, the technology advancements we made through COVID and previous years have allowed that to happen pretty seamlessly.
Well, LA is, I talk about this a lot with my best friend who lives in New York, because it's just so different. LA is like this bubble of only like entertainment industry people. And it's really hard to see the world outside of it. Like, it's really difficult because everyone is almost working towards the same goal. Everyone is just like hustle, 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 hustle. And there's no world outside of entertainment almost. Like, LA is such a bubble.
Yeah, it's La La Land, right?
It's
called that on purpose, you know. It's not an accident. And so, because I think people really it is magic. It is absolute magic when you're there. And you can see, you know, the streets, and you can see the buildings that are in movies, and you can see the Dolby Theater, you can see all these things. But I think that there is also something and some credence to, you know, reminding yourself there is a real world, and staying grounded is very, very key. For particularly a lot of what I do, and not getting wiped up in the hubbub you know, because I have ADD. And so I'm there, it's like, oh, I'm literally like a dog chasing 100 tennis balls. I'm like, I don't know where to go. But yeah.
Wow. So tell me a little bit about the producing side of you, because I've noticed that you have started to get more into producing as well as acting. So tell me how that started and what you're working on.
Yeah. Going back to what I said, necessity is the mother of invention, right? And so, you know, for me, we all have these stories we want to tell, right?
Yeah.
And we all have these things that we have passion projects and things that, you know, we feel like we're the only ones who can tell this story, whatever this story is. Everyone has their own thing. And so for me, I knew that having a controlling aspect as to what I was shooting and having a controlling aspect of the story I wanted to tell was a necessity. You know, the icons that I hold up in my, you're probably gonna see some of my movies here. I mean, you know, from Gladiator to the 300, you know, Braveheart, Troy, I mean, all these famous war epic movies, if you want to call them that, those impacted my childhood. So I'm like, okay, this is where we're going. We're going in this world eventually. You know, we're starting smaller. Obviously, you know, you don't go for the $200 million budget feature, you know. But, you know, you do start smaller to tell stories that you want to tell. And so I was fortunate enough to be able to work with several writers and one other producer of a friend of mine now, who believed in the same thing I was doing and believed in ideas that I was having that could be really a genuine take on a story and something that we could work on together. So, you know, we went through the process with the writers, and for months, you know, they were writing and they would send me a copy, and we would make notes, and then they would write back and forth, and just kind of evolving this thing. And so eventually, without getting enough attention, it's like we were able to do this in a shelter of COVID. That's why I go back. It's like, you know, you had this bubble that, well, what else is everyone going to do? You know, you're sitting at home for the most part, you know, you have a computer and you have the internet, man, write, create. And I'm not a writer, so don't get it twisted. Like, I have no way a writer. I'm more of like an idea guy and tell a story. But so I guess think partnering up with people who, you know, much like you probably do in LA. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's what you do in LA, right? You're able to cling on to other artists that have maybe the same belief and understanding as you. And so I was able to do that. And, you know, we continue to do that. And, you know, we're very fortunate going forward and looking forward to getting some of these, eventually these war epics.
Yeah. That's so exciting. You know, producing is, it's one of the greatest joys, I think, because you really get to have that business side of you work, but you still have the creative control at the end of the day with the director and writer, and that collaboration is something that's really special in filmmaking. So I'm excited to see what you guys make.
Yeah, like you said, I think that you know, controlling the business aspect of things as well. I think it's really important for actors and actors listening to understand this is, you know, that is show business. Mm-hmm. And that, you know, the greatest artists, the greatest, you know, actors will never be seen because they didn't do the other portion. And that is the business part of things. And the fact that you are your own business, and if you don't take it that serious, or you think that it's just, you know, you're going to be seen because you're that good, you won't be. And you know, you have to put yourself in situations to understand the business of things and how does it work. And that's, I think, my understanding from the beginning. I started acting, I knew I had to understand that portion because I got to know who's making the decisions to put me in their movies or not. Why are they making decision to put me in or not put me in? And so I think in understanding that, that's what opened the door to producing. It's like, well, man, you know, all these decisions anyone can make. Anyone can be creative. I think it's just, you know, asking of a lot of help and don't ask for don't ask for permission. Just do it. And then ask for this later on and just kind of blaze your own way.
Yeah. And I think it's so much more accessible now. You know, we don't have a studio system that's saying like, you have to have a contract with one studio to be able to be an actor. Oh. Like you can do whatever you want now. You can shoot an iPhone movie and have it be something like Tangerine that ends up at huge film festivals and huge, you know, award shows. So I think, you know, the world is kind of our oyster now as creatives, because there's so much that we are able to do now without the help of the huge executives that are gatekeepers.
That's right. That's right. I think that companies like, you know, Amazon, who are getting the market, they have, you know, more money than they can possibly understand. People create a freedom, and Netflix is doing the same thing. Now that they don't have to say, we want a thousand things, we want these dots checked out. It's like, no, if it's good, we'll put it up. Yep. And if it's not, we're not going. So, you know, now that kind of allows you the creative freedom of, and voices that have not been told or not been spoken yet to step up, because everyone has their own creative process and their own idea of how things should work. And if you think you have an idea, you think you can do it, man, create it, do it. And then let if you want to put it up on a big platform, let them decide if it's good enough or not. Mm-hmm. I mean, doesn't matter it doesn't mean if it is good. It just means it's right for them. It's just like dating. You may be perfect, but maybe not perfect for this person. You know, it may be perfect over here. So,
I mean, a lot of this industry is opinion based, which can be so frustrating, because then you're like, well, why didn't I do this, or why didn't I get this, or why didn't this work out in my favor? And it's like, some other person's opinion just was different. That's it.
Yeah, we thought that the guy, you know, in my situation, the guy had black hair. Yeah, blonde. That's it.
It's like,
okay. Well, and you know, that kind of goes back to, it's not about, you know, so even your acting a lot of times, and that's what most people don't understand. It's like, it's not that you're
really not,
or that you are not, you know, even what they're looking for. It's the fact that it could be something so small and minute, but enough that, you know, they're like, they have options. Like, we're going to go over here. It's nothing personal. And I think that's what a lot of people understand. I understand very early on is that it's nothing personal if they don't take you. It's mm-hmm. not that they have it against you. It's if castigators are bringing you back in over and over again, you're good. It's just a matter of time. You'll break through. You just, you know, if they're see what you're bringing every time and they're looking for a spot for you, that's why they keep bringing you back in and not be discouraged by the door slamming in your face.
Speaking of door slamming in your face, on this show, we like to share audition stories. Do you have any auditions that you would like to share with the listeners?
Oh, yes. Okay. So I know we want to do something that's going to be funny. And so we'll start with one that's funny. I had an audition for a feature, big part, lead role in a feature that was going to be on Netflix. I'm not going to tell you the name of it because I didn't get it. But the story goes, I was working with a coach at the time, and it was all about making dynamic choices and doing something unexpected. And so in this situation, I'll give you a quick rundown. The character that I was playing was highly irritated, high upset, and was being and somewhat interrogated by the police, FBI, federal agents. And so I made the decision to face completely 90 degrees from where the camera was, so you could see a profile only. And this was how I did my take. And the cameraman completely to my side, you can now see Harley in my face, dim lighting. The whole thing felt great. But I was like, oh man, no one's going to do anything like that. And at that point, I made the mistake of thinking just because you do something different doesn't mean it's good different. Yeah. It just means that it looks weird. And so, you know, I was like, oh man, I nailed that. Sent to my agent. Of course, it goes directly to the casting. And you know, we hear back. And it's like, we couldn't even see you. We couldn't really hear you. Like, what? No, this is not going to work out at all. Didn't even get another read. Like, we don't want you for this role type thing. I was like, oh, man. And I was so right for it. I was like the same height and weight and, you know, same, you know, symbol. And it was like everything lined up perfectly. But so that was the last time I did that. Yeah. Just because being different doesn't still mean it's good different. You know, no. Just like movement doesn't mean progression. Mm-hmm. You know? It means you're just moving around. So that'd be one story that I feel like, no, people can appreciate that. You won't do anything that'll be quite that bad. I heard the thing about Rachel McAdams doing her whole take on Notebook facing, you know, the opposite way and not even looking at the camera. I was like, you know what? If she can do it, I can do it.
Yeah.
It didn't get to it. That was one. And, this is a recent one, actually. It's for a movie I have coming out, Switch Before Birth, actually. I was shooting a film this last March. And I get a call back. And of course, I'm out of town. I'm in a hotel. And we, you know, call back X amount of time. So I have to stop shooting. I tell the director, I need 15 minutes. I got this call back. You know, she was gracious enough to let me do that. Go up. And, you know, the thing that our director, Elizabeth Rome, who's incredible, by the way, what she said calmed me so much because, you know, you're dancing in the world of, you know, who you really are, this other character I'm playing in this movie, and then also I'm going to be this other person for 15 minutes.
Right.
I guess it's a really weird dynamic. And so we got online, and then there was, you know, all the execs from the studio, casting director, three other actors, and the director. Mm-hmm. And the thing she said that calmed me so much is she said, now, this is just a formality, but we just need you to read one more time. That, to me, all the nerves left. And even if it was just, I told her this story later on, in fact, I did on her podcast. Later on, it calmed me enough to know like, oh, this is mine already. So I was able to be loose and to be able to be in the present in the moment and really react to a screen in a hotel room versus trying to do this rote memory, you know, thing that I had prepared beforehand. And you don't always get that. I mean, you know, we've all worked with directors who would never do that. But then right. I was fortunate enough that she was sensitive to the situation and said, you know, this is all formality, so whenever you want to do it. And, you know, it was a great callback and we ended up doing it and getting the film. So, yeah.
I love that. I mean, yeah, it's one of those things where it's like having that little bit of reassurance can truly change the whole experience, whole experience for you.
Totally. And it can do the opposite, you know. Yeah. I think that we've we all almost lost jobs, but you know, you can get that pressure, and you can get the pressure thrown in your face so hard. And, you know, it's the fight or flight kind of thing. And, you know, it'll tense you up to the point you can't even you know, breathe. And like I said, fortunately, you know, working and doing that, it was, it worked out really well.
Yeah. I mean, I remember an acting teacher once told me when I was a teenager to always walk into the room like the part's already yours, because then you don't have those nerves. Just be like, yeah, this is mine, and we're just doing this for fun. And then if you don't get it, well, you don't get it. But at least you can get rid of that nervous little feeling in your stomach where you're like, oh, man, I don't know.
Yeah. Well, particularly if you really want the part, too.
Yeah.
You know, if you're really, you know, hungry for this part, whether it be you need it for the money or you need it for the career. But, you know, it is a different beast when you do see the other actors and you do see the casting. And yeah. It's always a little colder in there than it was in the hallway.
Always
it's like,
colder.
What is this? There's these games that are being played with you. So like you said, you cling on to, oh my God, the casting director shook my hand with his left hand. And so that's a good sign. Like you try to like cling on to any little thing. I hope you can't like, oh yeah, this is good. You know, to calm those little nerves. But again, it goes back to, you know, if you do it enough, you do stop having those, believe it or not. And yeah. I think, you know, you kind of start being yourself regardless.
Well, Bo, I've so enjoyed having you on the show. Where can people follow you on social media to keep up with everything that you're doing?
Yeah, sure. It's Bo, that's Bo_Yokely, Yokeley, at Instagram and Facebook. I never get on Facebook, but if I do, then hey, there we are. I'm on Instagram, I'm not going to lie.
I love that. Well, thank you again so much. It's been a pleasure to talk to you, and I wish you all the success in the future.
Thank you so very much. Thank you for having me, and yeah, I'll talk soon.
Thanks again to Bo for coming on the show. Tune in next week. I have Elena Sanchez on the show, and we have a great chat all about creating your own future. So tune in next week, and until then, make sure to subscribe to the show wherever you're listening to it now. Leave us some love with rate and reviews with whatever that means. I just totally stepped over my words, but whatever. So yeah, rate, review the podcast, and follow us on social media. We post really fun IGTVs every single week from these interviews. You can see us talking actually to each other in different rooms, but to each other. So go to our Instagram. Those links are in the show notes. And happy Halloween, you spooks. I hope you have a great weekend. Again, please be safe. And as always, thanks for coming in.
Hey there, it's Rachel Ballinger, and I am extremely excited to invite you to Rachel Uncensored. It's my podcast where I sit down and get real with my friends and celebrity guests, where we talk about all sorts of topics. And sometimes we might be under the influence when we do so. We cover things from personal stories to hot button issues. And it's the only place on the internet you can find an uncensored version of me. It's a side of me that you might not have seen before because it's not the most family or brand friendly. But don't worry, I'm still sort of slightly a decent human being. If you're intrigued, then make sure you check it out. New episodes drop every Wednesday. You can find it on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Trust me, you won't want to miss out on the fun and candid conversations we have here on Rachel Uncensored.